Good morning. Please take your Bible and turn with me first to the book of Romans chapter 12. We're going to be starting our reading this morning from that text, Romans 12, beginning in verse 3. What a blessing it is to be with you this morning. It's great to look out and see all of you who are here, because there are many who are not able to be here this morning due to sickness. I know Benny mentioned several. Mackenzie has been sick all week with the flu, both types A and B. Along with a double ear infection, along with strep throat. So she's had all three of those this week. And Denise is also at home this morning sick. So a lot of sickness in my house. But anyway, doing what we can do to get by. It's great to be able to be here this morning. I feel fine. So that's great. Now, I've got a couple of other things before we begin our lesson this morning. We're going to continue to talk about the need to grow spiritually and how we can grow by serving in the body of Christ. Before I get to that, I've got a couple of news things to pass along to you. First of all, I have been in the process with Keith Sharp in preparing to go to Africa this summer. July 2nd, we're going to be leaving the United States and flying to Kenya. And from there, we'll be preaching for a little over a week, for about 10 days, in a little village in Kenya. And then we're going to be riding by vehicle, by truck, into Tanzania and preach for about 10 more days there. So looking forward to that. Just letting you know what kind of is in the works as far as that is concerned, and let you know so you can start praying ahead for that effort. Secondly, I want to personally thank the brethren here for the increase in the contributions over the last month and a half, because we had expressed some concerns about the radio broadcast. And the contributions on average have been way above what I could have hoped for. And so I certainly want to thank you for that. As far as the radio broadcast itself is concerned, we have really had a great couple of weeks. I don't know how many of you have been able to listen to the broadcast recently. We've been having a lot of calls. And only one of those calls have been from a member of the church that I'm aware of. But rest of them, there have been a couple of folks called in to argue. A couple of folks have called in to just ask questions. And then I've been getting a lot of feedback on Facebook. In fact, I met day before yesterday, Friday morning, I met with a fella who is a former Mormon who was listening to us. He lives in North Little Rock. And I met with him Friday morning. He wanted to just get things rolling as far as a Bible study is concerned. He's come out of the Mormon church and just a great guy. And I hope that I can get him to come and visit with us. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that we're looking for. And people calling and asking questions, and it has made me a lot busier, but that's great. I have certainly enjoyed that opportunity, and I can see the fruits beginning to come about because of the radio broadcast. I see it and experience it every day, so I want to thank you for that. All right, growing by serving. We do need to be growing, as we have emphasized, and we've went over several lessons so far on the subject of growing. One of the best ways that I know to grow is to actually put your hands to the work and do it. A Bible class teacher is going to grow more from the Bible class that they teach than the students that they teach. You know why? Because they themselves are having to study and prepare, and they are teaching and learning in the process. You do, and you grow. And you do more, and you grow more. That's the process. That's the way that it works. And that applies to other activities that we engage in the body of Christ. If you want to grow, you have to work. You have to serve. We talked about bearing fruit. That's part of growth, no doubt. And part of bearing fruit is the activities that we engage in. But we pointed out last Sunday morning that by growing spiritually, by bearing fruit to the Lord, we see that in various ways. First and foremost, the fruit of the Spirit, our character. And then our activity in obeying Jesus Christ and the wisdom that comes with that, the maturity level, the righteous life that is produced, the worship and the edification and our ability then to teach others. All of these things are fruits of our spiritual walk in life in Christ. And so we grow spiritually. But now, understand, all of that growth has a purpose. And that purpose is for the strengthening of the body of Jesus Christ. Beginning in Romans 12 and verse 3, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." You know, here in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul lists several activities that are to be done in the church, in the body of Christ, in the local church. He talks about prophecy, which was a miraculous spiritual gift, but the idea of prophecy, although the miraculous aspect of prophecy is done away with, there is still the result of that prophetic gift, and that is the Word of God that continues on, and it continues to need to be taught, right? And so you have the teachers and those who minister, those who serve is the idea. Serve. Those who teach, teach. Those who exhort, exhort. We all have different roles and different functions in the body of Christ, and they are many. And we'll get back to that text in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Paul says, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the feet, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually." Now, we are all different. We all have different functions in the body, but we're all equally important. We are all equally valuable. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. That's kind of foolish, isn't it? Or, you know, you can't say to one part of your body, you know, how would you go somewhere if you had no feet? Well, now, of course, we have technology and medical advances has really helped people who do not have feet. But what if you didn't have those advances? Very important. Our feet are very important. Our hands are very important. How would you like to not have hands? Your eyes are very important. Everything is very important. And so we need to realize that we also, as members of the body, we may not be the head. We may be the feet. But we're just as important as the head, as far as value is concerned. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, Paul there says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, first of all, these apostolic and prophetic offices in the church were temporary. You go back to chapter 2 and verse 20, the apostles and prophets laid the foundation upon which the church was to be built. That miraculous office was temporary. However, that which they provided was to continue on and continue to be taught and It is continually edifying the body and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We have work to do. We have things that we need to be engaged in. And so that is accomplished through the teaching of God's Word till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we reach maturity. And the idea is that the teaching and the edifying of the body of Christ is to bring it into a united, functioning corporate body in which the work of God can be accomplished. And that is, again, accomplished through our knowledge of the Son of God to a mature body of believers, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And we've already talked about this. If we know the truth, we're not going to be led astray with error. So it's very important that we know what the Word of God teaches. And he says in verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." You know how to grow the body of Christ? You know how the church is going to grow? It's not going to grow because it has one or two people that's doing all the work. It's not going to grow because it has a poor preacher or a great preacher, or good elders or poor elders. Now, I'm not saying that it's not important we do not have good preaching, because it's important, nor good elders, that's important. But really what makes a congregation grow, what makes the church grow, is when all of its members are doing their part. That's what makes the body grow. Everybody doing what they are equipped by the Lord to do. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. That causes the growth of the body. Now, isn't that what the Bible teaches? Now, just to clarify some things, and listen, we do live in a very individualistic society, don't we? Everybody's talking about my rights. That I have a right to do this and I have a right to do that, and nobody infringes my rights. We live in a very individualistic society. I can do this, and nobody has the right to say anything contrary to that. Nobody ever had better tell me I'm wrong about something, because I have a right to believe it, I have a right to do it. Many professing faith in Christ practice individualistic religion, don't they? I have a right to believe what I want to believe. I have a right to do what I want to do. And you can't tell me that that's wrong. I have a right to worship God the way I want to worship Him. I've got a right to be a member of the church that I want to be a member of. I've got a right to do and say whatever I want if I believe it's right. That's all that matters anyways, that I'm sincere. It's individualistic. I am the criteria. I'm the one that makes the rules. I'm the one that decides what's right and what's wrong. A very individualistic view of Christianity. Now, that doesn't mean that these same individualistic-minded Christians are not members of some big conglomerate body of believers that allow you to believe different things. And it's just like one fellow that I went to school with down in Pine Bluff. He was a pastor of the First Assembly of Church in Pine Bluff many years ago. He's moved on, and I don't know where he is now, but I remember he sent me a copy of one of the sermons that he preached, and it was about how to grow the church. And what he talked about in that lesson was, we grow the church by accepting everybody no matter what they believe. If you're a Methodist, that's fine. Come on in. If you're a Baptist, that's fine. Come on in. You have the right to believe what you want to believe and do what you want to do. And really all that church was a big country club. And it provided for, they had the women's ministry where they would go shopping. It had the men's ministry where they'd go fishing and those kinds of things. And so it appealed to people's carnality. And so they drew people in, telling them they can believe what they want to believe, do what they want to do, everything is fine. And that's the way a lot of Christianity, those modern churches today, that's kind of what they're built on. But that's not the Bible way. Christianity is built upon and demonstrated by relationships, relationships upon which we are united by faith in Jesus Christ, united by trust in His Word, and united by our commitment to follow Him. And that's what being in the body really is all about. It's not about you being able to do whatever it is you want to do. That's not it. We are submitting to Jesus Christ, who is our head. The gospel in the first century in the Bible, this is what we read. The gospel was first preached. And as the gospel went out, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapters 13 through 20 went out and preaching the gospel throughout Asia Minor. And he preaches the gospel. He goes all the way to Lystra. And he goes back through, and he, as they go back through, they establish elders in every church. Acts 20 tells us. Acts 14 tells us. Verse 20. And so there, verses 20 through 23. And so you've got that. The church is being organized by the Apostle Paul. And the church was spread all over the known world. In fact, the gospel, we're told in Colossians 1:5 and verse 23, that the gospel had been preached to every creature, just as Jesus instructed the apostles to do. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And Paul tells us that was done in Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and verse 23. Christians then joined together for the purpose of corporate worship, and to support one another, and to encourage one another, and to do the work that the Lord had called them to do. It was a corporate uniting together of Christians to do the Lord's work as a group, to worship and to serve. The church is not just a place, we think of the idea of church, we're not thinking of a building either, by the way. We're not thinking about an organization that is looking to some man somewhere for instructions to tell us how to do what we do. We're simply I'd rather use the word organism, of people who are organized under the headship of Jesus Christ and in accordance with the teaching of Jesus Christ. We are a body of believers. This was not an optional plan. Again, you know, many Christians today who are individual, they don't go to church anywhere for any reason. They think they can go worship the Lord on the lake or in the mountain or wherever. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to be a member of any group. But that's not the Bible way. The Lord had the apostles to preach the gospel, and people were bound together by their faith. And thus, they worked together to accomplish the Lord's will. The body has needs. As individual Christians, we all have needs. And another reason why the Lord established the local church the way that He did was to provide for the needs of the members of that local church. We are a community of believers. Some of us are old, some of us are young. Some of us are strong, some of us are weak. Some of us are struggling, some of us are prospering spiritually and in other ways. What we all need to realize is that we are actually dependent on each other. Not to do our thing, but to do the Lord's work. There is a common purpose that we should come together to achieve. And that ain't about me, and it ain't about you. It's about Christ, and it's about His work. We need to be supportive of one another. We are all different. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different needs. We all have different skills. We have different abilities. But we all have the same Lord. You know, we all do come from different backgrounds. We have different cultures. Just like in Antioch, you had a church. You know, think about it. What was that church like? You had Gentiles and Jews. Now, these Gentiles come from various cultures themselves. Most of them came from a mythological background, an idolatrous background. They had a lot of mysterious superstitions. Then you mix in the Jews with that group of believers, and these Jews had their own culture and background that they were bringing into the body. But you know what? Here's a very important point that I think all of us need to realize. We are Christians. And we are Christians first. And we are united upon our faith in Jesus Christ. And whatever differences and whatever backgrounds, whatever cultural distinctions that may be present in our lives must be overcome and overshadowed by our faith in Jesus Christ and our unity together to accomplish His work. That must be our goal and that must be our focus. Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 28, all emphasize that need for unity. And then you throw in passages like Galatians 3, 26 through 29. We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But that's not where Paul stops. He goes on, he talks about how whether we are male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, we are all one in Christ Jesus. We have a common thread, a common goal, and a common faith, a common Lord. Those who follow Christ will follow Him also in practice. Now listen, in Matthew 20, verses 24 through 28, Jesus said that He did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give His life as a ransom for all. Jesus Christ came to give of Himself. Now listen, if I follow Christ, what am I going to do? I didn't come to be served. Did you come to be served? You know, again, if you think about it from an individualistic perspective, that is what most people are looking for, right? They come to a church where they can get what they want to get. It's about me. That's not what Christianity is about. That's not what being a member of the body of Christ is about. We have come not to be served, but to serve, just like Jesus. Now, another thing is that by serving then, and by doing the things that the Lord lays upon us, using the abilities, the skills that God has given to us, we grow, we increase. You know, there's a principle that we find, and Jesus makes a statement it's kind of mysterious, I guess, in a way. We find it in Matthew 25 and in other parables. Jesus talks about, you know, to those who have, more will be given, but those who do not have, everything will be taken away from them. What does that mean? What that means is people who have used their talents and their abilities, the Lord gives more. What does that say to you? That's saying to me that there's growth taking place. A person who has will be given more, and he uses that more, and then guess what? He's going to be given more, and he's going to use that, and he's going to continue to increase and continue to grow. The principle is seen in our faith, it's seen in our activities, it's seen in everything that we do. That what we do when we grow, we do. When we do, we grow even more. And it's a continual process of growth. James says in James 1 and verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. What happens if you don't do the word? You forget who you're supposed to be. You forget what you're supposed to do. But a person who actually puts his hand to the work, and as the Ecclesiastic writer says, puts his hand to the work with all of his might, That man learns what it means to be a Christian. He learns what it means to trust the Lord. He understands and he grows and he continues to grow. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Not only will he be rewarded for his efforts, he will be rewarded in the sense that he grows. And I've told the story about when I was in high school and I was in industrial arts class, and we had a change of teachers from my junior year to my senior year, and the senior teacher was a guy from UAPB, and we walked into industrial arts and all we had were desks and class books on those desks, and we did not touch a tool all year long. How much did we learn? Year before that, we didn't have any books, we didn't have any desks. All we did was learn and do. And we learned. And so it's not just book knowledge. Listen, we have to put our hand to the work. And as we put our hand to the work, we grow. I did construction work for 17 years. I learned how to use a handsaw skill saw very well. But I want to tell you, it takes practice. You're not going to just throw a piece of plywood on top of some sawhorses, pop a line on that piece of plywood, and cut that line straight as an arrow your first time. It's not going to happen. Or the second time that you try it. It's going to take practice. The more that you do, the more you grow. That's true in every aspect of life. And it's also true in our own personal lives as we are trying to grow as Christians. But listen, again, the idea is we need to do so we can grow not just ourselves personally, but we can grow the body. That requires teamwork. And if we're going to grow, we have to first and foremost be humble and selfless. We must be willing to give of ourselves, not to be served, but to serve. I must be humble and selfless. I must be willing to receive instruction and guidance. I must be willing to receive correction and help. I must be willing to learn that I may grow, and learn from others that are around me. I must be humble, and I must be selfless. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, listen carefully to what he says. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to say to you that one of the biggest hindrances to the work of the Lord in the world today, one of the things that makes teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ more difficult today than perhaps it has ever been before, is the existence, the very existence of denominationalism and division in the religious world. That's one of the things that hinders the cause of Christ more than anything else. People give up and they quit saying, how am I going to find the truth in all of this division and all of this confusion? Satan has done a masterful job in dividing those who profess faith in Christ. And it has hurt the cause of Christ. That's why unity is so important. We should do everything we possibly can to bring about unity within the body of Christ. We are not going to be effective if we are not united. That's for sure. Now, there are other things necessary as well, but we are not going to be effective, I mean truly effective in the cause of Christ, by being divided. We must be united if we're going to be effective. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. The word if here should be understood as since. Since there is consolation in Christ, there is. That's a fact. And there is comfort of love. There is fellowship of the Spirit. And there is affection and mercy in Christ. Now, as a result of that, fulfill, Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He did not come to be served, but to serve. If you really want to know what it means to grow spiritually, I believe that the Apostle Paul's statements here in Philippians 2, 1 through 5, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, lie at the heart of your spiritual growth. You must be humble and selfless. You must be willing to surrender your will first and foremost to Jesus Christ, and then become part of His body and grow within the body of Christ, serving and helping one another. We talked last week about growing by bearing fruit. And certainly the fruit of the Spirit comes to the forefront when you talk about bearing fruit as a child of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the characteristics that we as Christians must have if we're going to be Christ-minded, like Him, in our thinking and in our character. But there are practical consequences of having these characteristics. These characteristics, think about this. They are absolutely essential in a body of believers. We must have these characteristics if we're going to work well together, if we're going to mesh together. Notice it. If we love, if we have the joy of faith in Christ, if we have peace with God, and thus we strive to have peace with one another, we're long-suffering. Look, we're patient with one another. We're kind to one another. We're good. We do that which is good. And we're faithful. We're dependable. We're trustworthy. We're honest. We're gentle. We're not harsh. And we're self-controlled. When you put these characteristics together in a person, he is equipped now to be a part of a body of believers. And if everybody in the body has these characteristics, bears this kind of fruit, what kind of body is this going to be? We are focused on spiritual things if we have these characteristics, these attitudes. We will be engaged in spiritual work and we'll be equipped to do it together. How will these qualities be manifested in my relationship with the Lord's church? I'm going to be concerned about the things that are spiritual. I'm going to love each other, one another. I'm going to have joy and optimistic outlook. I'm going to have peace. And all of these qualities will help me in my relationship within the body of Christ. And the more that I fit into the body and we all fit into each other and we work together, we all will grow together. You know, we often emphasize the need to assemble together to worship. I want to say to you, this is just a small part of what we are to be doing together. It's not just to worship. Now, that's a big part of it. But it's not just being a body of believers is not just about worship, is it? We certainly must come together and we must worship together. Absolutely. We know, as the psalmist said in Psalms 122 and verse 1, how he was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." We all ought to have that attitude. You know, and be ready and desiring to come and worship together. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 33, we ought to be coming together for the better, for the worship of our Lord and our God. But as we come together to worship, we are benefited personally and collectively by the things that God has given us to do. He has told us to preach, to teach the gospel, and to edify one another by that teaching and preaching of the gospel. The learning and edification are really one and the same thing. To serve one another. We are to be servants. And to learn how to serve. And to become closer together. You know, a few weeks ago we were talking about, in a Sunday morning Bible class, we were talking about some churches that have opted out to just take, you know, have one service on Sunday. And they've cut back on other aspects of their getting together too. And one of the things that just keeps coming to my mind when I start to think about that, there's just a red flag, you know, a warning siren is going off. Because we as believers need to be together more, not less. Now, I know that there are some practical reasons why, you know, that can't always be possible. And I know that there are some reasons why. You know, some congregations, and they have legitimate reasons why they do what they do. And I'm not criticizing that. But listen, I'm just saying, stepping back and looking at this, we need to be together more, not less. Because the more that we're together and we're doing the things that God would have us to do, I want to tell you what's going to happen. We get closer to each other. We learn more about each other. We're more aware of one another's needs. And we are better equipped to take care of one another's needs because we have a better understanding of each other. The more that we're together, the better. There is a purpose, and God has a reason to bring us together. Not to divide us up. Local churches have different kinds of members. You know, you have the reluctant member, the one who comes. Their mind is elsewhere. They'd rather be somewhere else. Rather be on a golf course or fishing or at a ball game. Or maybe just at home watching television. But they're here because someone has compelled them to be here. Or maybe, you know, they feel like, well, you know, I haven't been in a few weeks, so I better go. That's just the wrong attitude. Of course, I don't want to discourage anybody who has this mindset. I want you to come because I hope that you'll hear a lesson or you'll hear something said like what I'm about to say that will get to you. Listen, you need to move on from that. You need to move into the area where you're a devoted member. That's where we all want to be, where we all need to be. You have those who are observing members. You know, they come and they watch. They're focused on the performance and what they can get out of it instead of actually being engaged. And they're not going to get near as much out of a lesson. They're not going to get near as much out of the song service. They're not going to get near as much out of the prayer or partaking of the Lord's Supper if they're just observing everything that's going on and they're not actually participating in those things. Because if we actually participate, we are going to grow. You're not going to grow otherwise. We need to be involved. But even more, we need to be devoted. Can you say that you are a devoted member of the body of Christ? You know, there are some members that all they want to be is critics. They want to criticize everything that goes on. Now, there is a good place, a right place, a needed place for those who point out the things that are wrong. And are willing and courageous enough to stand up against those things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the person that they would criticize anything just because they are of that kind of person. They're just a critic. Some people are compelled. They are compelled members. They do what they do simply because they have to, or they feel like they have to. Even in their obedience to God, they do it because they have to. And so they're more likely to come up with that, you know, that saying, well, where does God say I can't do that? Or some respond and some attend and some do what they do because they just want to get along. They don't want to cause any trouble. Now, there's nothing wrong with that attitude. But we need to be more than that. We need to be people who are cooperative. They're willing to work with others, and they're good helpers. And that's great. We need people like that. But more than that, even we need people who are absolutely committed to serving the Lord, doing what the Lord would have them to do. Is that us? Because if it is, listen, we are growing, and we are helping others to grow. We need people who are committed. Now, I just want to quickly, I'm not going to go back and read the text. You can do that. I'd like for you to go back home and read through these texts one more time and think about the things that I'm about to share with you. Read through these texts slowly and think about these things. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is emphasizing the need to grow by participation. We are members of the body, and we are to give what we have to that body. We are to participate with that body. We are to grow by genuine love and concern. Listen, I saw something. In fact, it was in a book that I read years ago called The Love Dare. It had this example, or actually a story, of this man and woman who were having marital problems. The man said he just didn't love his wife anymore. I mean, he still loved her, but he was not in love with her, you know, if you know what I mean. That was his expression. Anyway, he went to this marriage counselor, and the fellow told him, said, I tell you what, you start doing this. He gave him a list. In fact, he took a calendar out, and each day you do something for your wife. Every day you do something for the next 30 days. You do something meaningful for your wife. He didn't see a point in it. You know, first day, I don't remember what they were, but like, for example, first day, bring her a dozen roses. Tell her you love her, give her a card, and write something personal, how much you appreciate what she's done. Day one. Day two, you know, bring her a gift, and, you know, every day it was something. Well, after 30 days of doing that, first he didn't understand, this doesn't make any sense. After 30 days, he was back in love with his wife. You know why? Because every day he did something for her. What did that do? It caused his love and his affection for her to grow. What I'm saying is that when we express genuine love for one another and concern for one another, our love for them will grow in the process. And it may not feel natural or even comfortable at the beginning, but it's something that if we do, we will grow in it. Growing by preferring to associate with one another. You know, I don't understand Christians who would rather be with their worldly friends than they had to be with Christians. What does that say to you about their focus and their mindset? Or we need to grow, and this is true, we grow by helping and supporting one another. When someone needs some help, we grow by helping them. We grow by listening in humility to others' needs. We grow in compassion. We grow in mercy. We grow in understanding, and we grow in strength. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verses 12 through 27, verses 14 through 20, Paul emphasizes the need for being a participant, not merely a spectator. We need to all be doing what we can do. We're all not the eye. We're all not the ear. We're all not the feet. We're all not the hands. But we all need to to put into the pot what we have and be who we are and to grow by recognizing our need for one another. Everybody needs each other. And we grow by our dependence, not our independence. And we grow by unity, not through schism. Schism makes weaker. And we grow through our mutual support and care for each other. We grow in these things. In Ephesians chapter 4, we grow through pursuing godly attitudes and promoting unity together. We grow by standing united upon the truth. And we must demand that. And if we're going to truly grow in Christ, we must be standing upon the truth. And if we're going to grow in Christ, we must be standing through what the Lord provides us through His Word. And we must use our God-given abilities within that body. Each and every person using what they have, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. The local body of believers, the local body of Christ, should be fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint, every member supplies. And thus success will happen, will grow. Now Jesus said in Acts 20 and verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know why? It's because when I give, I am actually going to be receiving. I may not be receiving money back, but I'm receiving something back. I'm receiving blessing back. More blessed to give than to receive. And when we serve, listen, we grow. We are increased. When we grow, the whole body grows. This is actually the biblical procedure for growing the body of Christ. It's through the gospel itself and through our preaching of the gospel, but we have to spiritually grow. One of the reasons why the church is not growing like it did in the first century, I think one of the reasons, there are several reasons. You have the division, denominationalism I mentioned earlier. That's certainly a reason. But I think one of the biggest reasons also is that we are distracted by all the worldly things around us, and we ourselves as individuals are not growing spiritually like we need to. And the church is not doing its part in helping that grow. And members are not growing as they need to. But when we grow as individuals, the whole body grows together. We are a body. You know, we are a kingdom, a vineyard, an army, a temple. None of those are passive illustrations. They all engage those who are members in some effort, in some work together. Are we as committed as we ought to be? Because what if every member of this church was like you? What kind of church would it be? We need to be workers. We need Bible class teachers. We need people leading in our worship. We need people who keep the grounds. We need, every congregation needs people who work. We need people who work, but we need people who are growing, who grow into those positions. We need all kinds of things. So do you. Are you providing what you can provide? I guess that's the biggest question. Where are our future deacons and elders and preachers coming from? If our young people aren't growing spiritually, and one of the saddest things in the world is to see our young people continually, you know, they grow up, they're taught, but then they fall away. It's discouraging. Where are our future leaders coming from? Young people, you need to keep the course. You need to stay the course. We have work to do. And it takes all of us to get it done. Are we doing the things that we ought to be doing as a congregation? Are we growing together as we need to? That depends upon each member doing its part. Let us seek to bear our fruit. Let us seek to use our abilities in the Lord's kingdom. Let us seek to use those abilities together. What does your work reveal about you? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you seeking to serve Him faithfully as He would have you to serve Him? Are you bearing fruit? Are you willing to work and to serve under the eldership here? We need all the help we can get. All hands on deck. Everybody doing their share. That's what it takes to grow the body of Christ. If you're here this evening, you've never rendered obedience to the gospel, you can and you should do that while you have opportunity. Today. I don't know of a better time. If you've wandered away from the truth, if you've committed some sin in your life that you need to repent of, you know, we'd love to have you come forward and confess that and get your life back on track so that you can be a faithful servant of the Lord. We can help you, want to help you, encourage you, strengthen you If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand, while we sing.